Welcome to the Fraunhofer podcast. Listen to the future. Today, XXL size redox flow batteries. The sun and wind are providing more and more power, but irregularly. High-performance electrical energy storage, such as redox flow batteries, should even this out in the future.
Man, what a storm. It's actually supposed to be summer now, with 16 hours of sunlight a day. Instead, it's so gloomy you could even have to turn on the lights. Our photovoltaic installation on the roof might not put out much today, though. But maybe it will at least get really clean again with this weather. It's great that we have a whole bunch of solar power in the basement stored in tanks from the past weeks.
Solar power in a tank? That's a surprise. But electrical energy really can be stored in liquids. You only need redox flow batteries for this. Research has been underway for this special type of battery at the Fraunhofer Institute for Environmental, Safety and Energy Technology in Oberhausen for several years. Dr. Jens Burfeind, group leader for electromechanical storage at Umsicht, explains how they work.
Contrary to the normal battery, we have a liquid in which energy is dissolved. This liquid is pumped through cells, that is where the name flow battery comes from, and then stored in a system of tanks.
Fraunhofer scientists use a solution of vanadium salts and sulfuric acid for this. When charging and discharging, this solution is chemically reduced or oxidized, thus the word redox. When you charge redox flow cells, two different types of vanadium solutions form at the plus and minus terminals. Each gets its own tank. If you want the cells to deliver power, you pump these two solutions back. There is a big advantage to using liquids. The storage capacity can be easily scaled up.
Doubling the capacity of a normal battery always means that I need two batteries. In our case, it simply means that I just need a bigger tank. And this is much more economical to produce.
Redox flow technology has another edge. You can charge and discharge the batteries far more often.
We can run several hundreds of thousands of cycles without any sign that they degrade. That is an enormous advantage compared to normal lead-acid battery systems that might have 500 to 1,000 cycles, or to lithium-ion batteries with 2,000 to 5,000 cycles.
This means redox flow batteries are perfectly suited for a decade of service to reliably buffer the power from wind turbines and photovoltaic installations, for instance, and thereby even out the fluctuations from these renewable energy sources. But there are a few problems. So far, the vanadium redox flow systems are fairly large, for example, especially the tanks. That is partly because the concentration of vanadium salts in the solution, the electrolyte, is quite low. This has a direct effect on storage capacity.
That means we can store about 20 watt-hours per liter, and that is relatively little. So we have to improve the electrolyte so that we can dissolve more vanadium salts in it.
Jens Burfeind and his colleagues are already researching this problem in their electrolyte lab. There is another challenge for them, the production costs. There is still too much manual labor involved.
You would have to develop an automated production of the cells. Because if I have to make piles of these cells in Germany by hand, it is too expensive and too slow.
To produce redox flow batteries cost-effectively, Umsicht researchers developed new kinds of machine-friendly cells. Their efforts were supported by experts from the Fraunhofer Institute for Solar Energy Systems, ISE, in Freiburg, and the Fraunhofer Institute for Chemical Technology in Finstal, Germany. Jens Burfeind is visibly proud of the result.
The redox flow battery has a surface area of about 4,500 square centimeters, half a square meter. That is one of the largest redox flow batteries to have been built.
One of the most capable facilities in Europe for these tests is located at the Institute in Oberhausen, ready to put the energy storage unit through its paces. Two pairs of black containers stand on either side of the room. In between, pipes as thick as your arms, lots of pumps and shut-off valves.
Here is our large-scale test laboratory, where we are able to run two large redox flow cell test systems in parallel. We see the supply tanks. The large pile, which is supplied by the tank systems, and the piping system, goes in front here.
Nevertheless, this pile, a stack of individual cells, only delivers a bit over 3.5 volts. However, every extra cell in the stack increases the voltage. There's already a battery in operation with 20 cells, making about 24 volts. Based on the performance data, a redox flow system like this would also be able to store solar power for its own operation.
The technical development is far enough to cover the power requirements of a private household. A system storing 4 to 6 kilowatts of power and 15 kilowatt hours of capacity could be installed in a basement without any problem. This is what we can realize with partners right now.
However, affordable redox flow batteries are not meant to store solar energy just from the roof, but also power delivered from enormous wind farms. The principle remains the same, only the scale is different in this case. The energy storage plants would have to be more efficient and scaled up by a factor of 200.
For serious wind power installations, you need 1 megawatt of power and 5 megawatt hours of capacity. Those are large-scale installations that you can only undertake with large partners.
That will probably take a while yet, though the concept has been proven now by the Fraunhofer researchers. And their redox flow batteries could one day make an important contribution to our energy transition.